Blog Talk Radio.
The scriptures clearly teach is that we, as believers, should know history. God tells us in passages like Romans 15:4 and Isaiah 43. He tells us also in 1 Corinthians 10 and Hebrews 11 and Psalm 73 and 78 and so many other places. He says to recall the former days, to remember the former times. Throughout the scriptures, we see that when a people remembers their history, they behave differently than when they forget their history. We see that even recovering histories, in the case of Josiah and the temple, leads to a national revival. Or in the case of Esther and Mordecai, the use of history by the king one night kept Mordecai from being hanged on the gallows and thus preserved the nation. So history is huge. God is into it. But in America, we don't do a good job of knowing our own history, and we need to. The scripture says that his people perish for lack of knowledge. We've been taught in America for years that what we're about is economics. We formed this nation because of taxation without representation. We need to know our history better. Taxation without representation does appear in the Declaration of Independence, but it's only one out of 27 issues that appear there. There's also religious issues. There's moral issues. There's so many other things than what we just hear today on economics. We need to go back and see that we were founded in this nation. Four clauses of the Declaration say that they didn't want activist judges. Two clauses say they wanted to end slavery. We have clauses over preserving the right to have Bible societies and other religious exercises. So as Christians, we need to know our history. We don't need to just go with what we've been taught. We ought to go back and read the documents. It's one thing to be taught what the Bible says. It's another thing to read it. So I challenge you. Follow up on what God says in the Scriptures. Know our history. Recall the former days. Let's go back and look at some of the patriots we had that were such strong Christians that are leaders that we don't even hear about today. So I challenge you, do some research, go to websites, look at things that will tell you about your faith history as a Christian. It's important you know that so that you know how to behave today.
Welcome, listeners, to City on a Hill Radio Show. Thank you for tuning in. And we are so grateful to those words from David Barton. Please visit his website, wallbuilders.org or .com. He is just really a treasure of information that makes you so proud for the heritage that has been given to us in this nation. And today we want to welcome our great friend, Ms. Annette Griswold. She is a member of she's a school board member. But today she's going to share with us some things that will hopefully shine the light of hope in our lives. And today where, you know, so many people are hurting. Hi, Ms. Annette.
Hey, Diana. How are you today?
I am doing great. I mean, it's always great to have you on. It just makes me feel good knowing that you're on with me. And today is just a very special day, and you gave this idea last week, and I was really so looking forward to it, Ms. Annette, in light of what we have just been through this week with the budget deal, where, you know, people are calling themselves winners, yet many people are calling them all losers. And really the people that may have lost the most is the American people. But there is hope and there is reason to have joy in spite of that.
You're absolutely right. Everything we hear seems to be gloom and doom. You know, our economies are failing and nations are at war. Tribulations nipping at mankind's heels, natural disasters, unemployment rate, homes are being bombarded. But we Christians still have something to laugh about. We know what the end of the book says, and it says we win. So I would encourage your listeners to occasionally just take time out from all this gloom and doom and see what the Bible says about joy. You know, Nehemiah 8:11, I believe it is, says the joy of the Lord is our strength. And we get strength from having joy in him. And joy is not something you can just will. You can't will joy. But if you get into the Word and then start thinking about the blessings and start thinking about our future, we have something to laugh out loud about. You know, we Christians, we're the only one that have a future, a laughing future anyway. So a few days ago, I was just really feeling down. I was going through a long spiritual drought, wondering, well, what was I doing wrong? And I loved the Lord, and I tried to live according to his instructions, doing what I felt he wanted me to do. But I felt like I had lost my usefulness for the Lord. Maybe some of your listeners feel this way, and I just want to tell them, hang in, there's hope. I wondered if I was even fit to die to go and move into the mansion Jesus has been building for me.
Well, Miss Annette, before we get started, I just hear it, and I'm excited. I can hardly wait. But I'm going to go ahead and start us off with prayer.
Please do.
Okay, and I'm going to read a few words for the people. And I just love Psalm 103. I think this is just so good for such a time as this. It says on Psalm 103, if you've never read it before, it's one of the sweetest psalms I have ever read, Miss Annette, because it reminds me, one of the words in there is, as a father has compassion. And I think to myself, you know, our Heavenly Father has compassion on us. And as a father has compassion on children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. And that is an amazing thing. He is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. And it's almost like we beat ourselves, Miss Annette, in this world. I can just imagine ourselves like bowling pins, knocking ourselves, you know. But God is right there. He's there to steady us. And today is one of those shows that hopefully will help you regain that steadiness that maybe you have been missing these past few days. So we're going to give it to God in prayer.
Good.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are God. We thank you for your greatness, your goodness. And, Lord, who is man that you love us so much that you gave your one and only Son to die for us? Lord, we cannot understand, but we are so grateful, Heavenly Father, that you are here for us, that you are in our midst. You said, when two or more are gathered, Lord, you are in our midst. So I just thank you for this opportunity for the listeners to regain that joy, Heavenly Father. We know that you want us to be involved. You want us to do a lot of things, Lord. We have to work our faith out. And, Lord, one of the signs is how we live our lives. And, Lord, we thank you for the opportunities that comes in our way. But we thank you most of all for your guiding hand, your strength when we have no more strength, and the joy, Lord, that is within that nothing can take away, and the peace that passes all understanding. We just pray that blessing for the listeners as they listen to the words Mrs. Annette has to share. We thank you, Lord, for this privilege, and we ask that you bless it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, go ahead, Mrs. Annette.
I just want to expound a little bit on that Psalms 103. That's wonderful. It's a thanksgiving for God's mercy. It's a Psalm of David. Some of those verses in that chapter really encourage anybody that might be downtrodden or, you know, discouraged or feeling depressed or whatever. But it's in there it talks about in verse 3, he forgives all thy iniquities. So that's something to be proud of and be thankful for and be happy about. And healeth all our diseases. What a mighty God that will forgive our iniquities and heal all our diseases. And in verse 9, this is what I am so thankful for. He is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. And it says in verse 10, he hath not dealt with us after our sins. In other words, he hadn't dealt with us according to what we deserve, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. But it's like you had said earlier, like a father pities his children, the Lord pities them that fear him. And then it goes on, verse 17, but the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children. And that's a wonderful promise because, you know, we all have children and grandchildren we're concerned about. And when we let our minds dwell on lost loved ones, it's easy to get discouraged and depressed. But when we go back and read God's promises and read his word, It lifts our spirit, and then our faith is increased. And, you know, we have to have that faith in order to please God. But we're not always merry in heart and joyful. But I think the Lord wants us to come apart and rest a while occasionally. I think sometimes we get those of us who are discerning the times that we live in and can see all the gloom and doom. I think sometimes we get so intense with it until we forget that joy is waiting there for us too. If we just, you know, if we just turn back to the Lord. I know I was going through this spiritual drought, and I'm going to share it with your listeners, hoping that they can see that God can bring us out of those, out of anxiety and depression. At that time, this is just a few days ago, Satan and his imps were doing a number on me. I had a feeling of rejection from everyone, and that is a spirit, that is an evil spirit that does that to the Lord's people. I was believing that no one, not even my dear dedicated husband, cared a hoot about me, not my children, not my church, family, and not the radio audience. And I went to the doctor, and she said, "Do you feel anxiety at times?" I said, "Well, of course I feel anxious." You see, she had told me that with spinal stenosis, I would eventually get to where I couldn't walk. So that was something to be anxious over. And so she did what doctors do best. She wrote an prescription for an antidepressant. And, of course, I went online and looked up the side effects of that antidepressant, and I said, "No way. Why trade off anxiety for all those side effects, like swapping one ailment for a dozen?"
Mm.
And that would do nothing for my bouts and high blood pressure either. So I decided, Diana, that my problem was a spiritual drought that I was experiencing, and no pill was going to correct that. I needed living waters from the Lord, that same living waters that Jesus gave the Samaritan woman at the well, and it never runs dry. I needed help, but not from a pill. I called Derek at the radio station, my friend at the radio station, and asked him to pray for me. Well, one of the pastors who has a program there, still there, he had just had his program, but he was still on hand, and so the two of them prayed for me. Now, I didn't just instantly feel hilariously happy, but after they prayed for me, I felt a sense of relaxation, and I knew God was going to take care of my anxiety. The doctor meant well, but she was not God. I needed help from God, not from a pill that would only make my situation worse. Now, God works in strange and mysterious ways. His ways are not our ways. They're far, far better than ours. And in all that, I was just thinking, really thinking, not really praying, and it's like the Lord spoke to my spirit, says, "Where is your joy?" And that joy he was reminding me of is joy in the Lord. And when we have that, it just cancels out just about everything else. I had allowed that old slewfoot, the devil, and his imp, who was a spirit of rejection, to take away my joy in the Lord. I felt no joy in feeling that nobody cared anything about me, and my whole life had been wasted. I'd been on a treadmill, not accomplishing anything. I was feeling unloved and unappreciated, and not realizing that the designer of the universe, God himself, still loved me. And I tell you, it doesn't get any better than that.
Wow, missing that. Well, you know, that you're one of those people that just really, I just enjoy being around you, Miss Annette. And so that had to be an attack from the enemy, trying to steal what you are.
Well, you know, Jesus told his disciples to come apart and rest a while, and he even did that. He had to go away from the crowds at times, spend time with his Heavenly Father. But the problem with us, Diana, I'm talking about Christians in general, we are too busy. We get too caught up in so many things until we don't spend private time with the Lord. I'm guilty of that. But, you know, he asked me, "Where is your joy?" And I thought, well, if laughter is like good medicine, which, you know, the scripture says, a merry heart doeth good like a good medicine, but a broken spirit dries up the bones. I thought, well, where am I going to find this laughter? And, of course, now, I'm not talking about the Kundalini laughter that I shared with you a few weeks ago. Laughter is usually not spontaneous, not healthy laughter anyway. Something must spark it. And I thought of my good old search program on the computer, so I did a search on clean Christian jokes. Mm-hmm. And can you believe there's several websites for Christian jokes?
Good.
Well, I spent most of that day reading clean Christian jokes and laughing. Sounds really carnal, I know. But sometimes I think we expect more of ourselves than what God expects out of us. Jesus took time out to go fishing and attend weddings. There's nothing happier than a Jewish wedding. If God's word talks about unspeakable joy, which comes only from Him, a merry heart and laughter, well, it must be good for us. And so I decided I would just take a day to just get into some real good laughing time. And it did help. And incidentally, Diana, it even brought my blood pressure down.
Wow, Miss Nat.
Which had been dangerously high.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, Jesus had a sense of humor. I think about when he was talking to the Pharisees, he was scolding them. And he said, "Ye blind guides, you strain on a gnat and swallow a camel." Well, that probably brought a chuckle from his disciples. You know, when you visualize that, and he was, mm-hmm. you know, he was scolding them, but the illustration he was using there, when you visualize it, probably sort of brought a chuckle from his disciples.
Well, that's true, because that is a funny way of putting it.
And, of course, God had a sense of humor when he, King Saul sent his men out to capture David, and when they got there, now I'm paraphrasing, of course, and right offhand, I can't tell you exactly where it's found, but when his men got there, they were having a big old camp meeting at David's camp, and they were prophesying and having a grand old time, and Saul's men got involved in it, and they began to prophesy and have a grand old time, too, and, of course, they went home without David. Well, the king sent a second group back, and they did the same thing, so in essence, King Saul said, "Well, if you want a job done right, you got to do it yourself." So he decides to go. And when he gets there, he gets caught up in it, and he prophesies naked. Now, if that's not a humor from God, I don't know what is. So God expects us to have a sense of humor, as long as we're not laughing at people, but laughing with people. That's the important thing. And to keep it, you know, keep it clean. You can't look at television and expect to find any good comedy anymore. It's all dirty and has sexual innuendos, you know. But good, clean laughter is really good for us. Even the scientists are saying now in the medical profession that laughter it releases endorphins, which is healthy for us.
And, Miss Annette, I hear them saying that about prayer, you know, too. That is good, and it's really all they're doing is really verifying what the Bible has already been telling us. But you know, it's like we're a little slow. You know, you have to have faith to believe in the Bible, and but now they're proving it, and it is amazing.
Well, this is sort of a little sidetrack, but you know, the scientists, some of them over the years have said, Sodom was not a real city.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I read just 2 days ago where they're now discovering the remnants of Sodom and the layers of ash and just masses of people had died. And it was at that time period that the Bible spoke up. They couldn't deny it. So God is merciful. He's allowed them to confirm what he's already said in his word.
Well, and too, I heard not too long ago, too, Miss Annette, about, you know, the fact that when Jesus came back from the dead, that he showed himself not just to one person, but he showed himself to hundreds. And it's, you know, it's recorded. And I'm thinking, you know, but it's really so amazing. There is so much verification of the Bible and what it says in there as being true. There's no other book like it. And I think for you to really discount what it says, you can't be very smart.
Well, they just have no spiritual discernment. And I like to watch science programs because I get a real laugh out of how wrong they are. And then something comes up and they can't explain it.
Mm.
And anybody that knows the Bible can explain it. But they can't, and that's another reason for us to rejoice, because God gives us that gift of discernment. We can discern what's truth and what's not truth.
Well, that's right, Ms. Annette, and I really need to reword that. It's not that they can't be very smart. It's got to be that they're against truth.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the better way to put it,
mm-hmm.
because it's truthful. It's a truth-filled book. And time after time, it's being proven that again. And Ms. Annette, I was thinking of Psalm 23,
mm-hmm.
where, you know, the Lord is our shepherd, that even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you know, he prepares a table before in the presence of our enemies. I mean, it says right there, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. And I think of a table before us with all that food. And when I think of preparing a table, I think of a feast, Miss Annette, where there's joy and laughter.
Mm-hmm. Yes. You know, like I mentioned earlier, a Jewish wedding, I was privileged to see one time. And a Jewish wedding, there's a lot of laughter. And Jesus, you know, he turned the water into a type of wine. That was his first miracle. It had to be a happy occasion.
Mm. Well, I'm thinking, even though we're in the midst of battle, yet God allows us to have a time of joy, of time with friends, a time for laughter, maybe even, you know, when I think, I've never really thought about that until you talking about the subject, and I'm thinking, well, you know what, there in the presence of our enemies, you know, God has prepared a table.
That's right.
I'm thinking when you put the word prepare a table, it's not just a simple setup of food. I'm thinking there's some preparation of good things in there.
Well, you know, it's supernatural. When you look at what's happening in the world, all this is taking place. It's confirming what Jesus said in Matthew 24, Mark 13, and Luke 21. When you see all this taking place, knowing that we're in the beginning of sorrows, and we see our economies crashing, and we see this they're trying to promote a one-world government and all that, that can be very depressing. But for the Christian, it's the time to get busy. Time's running out. We only have a short time to promote the kingdom of God on this earth. We only have a short time to tell people about Jesus. In other words, I think we're getting so close to the fire, Diana, that people are going to literally have to be snatched out of the fire, and then we're going to be out of here. I think it's just getting that close. But in the meantime, in order to have the strength to do the things the Lord would have us do, we have to do like he told his disciples to do. We have to come apart and rest a while. And I think that would include good, clean, rib-tickling laughter.
Yeah.
I see humor in a lot of things. Yesterday, my grandson and I went into town, and coming back, I was about to go to sleep. And I kept telling him, Blake, don't let me go to sleep now. Don't let me go to sleep. And then I told him, I said, I just thought of a good joke. And this old lady was speeding down the highway, and she's pulled over by a police officer. And the police officer said, Granny, didn't you know you were speeding? And she said, oh, my, no, officer, I didn't. I dropped off to sleep.
It's a good thing you didn't fall asleep.
Can you imagine, though, her getting a ticket for speeding and then admitting that she went to sleep?
Oh, yes. Well, Miss Annette, I'll share one, too.
Okay.
I remember driving, and you know, in a small rural Alabama town, you have slow drivers and you have fast drivers. Mm-hmm. Which one do you think is worse? To be in front, you know how people will fuss being in front of behind a slow driver?
Mm-hmm.
If you're always wanting to go somewhere and you know they're taking their time, they're not in a hurry. Which one is worse, though, is to be in front of a fast driver, you know, a young kid
mm-hmm.
that's got to get somewhere. Well, can you imagine? I was sandwiched in between those things. I had a slow driver in front of me, and I had a fast young driver behind me. So, pretty dangerous position to be in.
Right.
But anyway, a little joke. It wasn't a joke. That was the true story. You kind of scared me.
Several years ago, I read a story where, I don't know if it's truth or not, but this woman, she was in a busy intersection, and her car choked out on her. And the man behind just began to blow his horn, and she calmly got out of the car and walked back there and told him, says, "Mister, if you'll come crank my car, I'll blow your horn for you."
Say that again, Miss Annette. I didn't catch that. Sorry.
This man, her car stalled at a busy intersection, and the man behind her kept blowing his horn, honking his horn at her. So she calmly got out, walked back to where he was, and said, "Mister, if you'll come crank my car, I'll blow your horn for you."
That's a good one.
That's just some of the stuff that a lot of people, you know, might think, "Well, oh my, that's not Christian." But I think sometimes we expect more out of ourselves than the Lord expects out of us.
Uh-huh.
You know, with the storm that's going on around us, all this stuff that's going on around us. Diana, I've been told that the eye of a tornado is rather calm. Thank goodness I've never been in the eye of a tornado. I don't know if that's true or not, but I've heard that. It's the swirling wind around the eye of the tornado that does the damage. And as these storms rage around us, we need to take time out to nestle in the arms of Jesus, resting in the assurance that he will take care of us.
Mm-hmm.
And you see, the crucial thing is that we have the faith to believe. And that's so important, is having that faith to believe it.
I think you're right, Miss, and I think, you know, I think to myself, you know, oh, I got to do this, I got to do that, get what you can done, but then always remember, too, you know, the big job is really his to do whichever way he wants. So it's putting that faith that, you know, when it's all over and done with, you just have to trust God. After all, it is his fight.
Right.
You know?
Only you all knew how despondent I had become. The children didn't even know it. But that day that I spent just setting aside that day to just laugh, and when I talked to him on the phone before he came in to work that afternoon, I told him that my blood pressure had been brought down to normal. And listen to this, Diana. He was so pleased, he went by the Dove Christian Bookstore and bought me 3 Christian joke books.
Well, now, Miss Annette,
you're looking forward to a change.
Have you got it with you? You want to read us some of that?
I will. But my husband is a very serious person. He's been such a good influence on me. He doesn't have a whole lot of humor because he is so serious-minded. But he's always been good for me. I've always heard that opposites attract.
Mm.
And there have been times when I would run unharnessed right into the snares of the devil if fuel had not been there to hold me back. But it was getting crucial. He'd said if laughter was going to help. But let me just share this with you. One of the books he bought was, let me see if I can remember the name of it, Over the Hill and on the Top or something like that. Over the Hill and on a Roll by Bob Phillips. And I thought, Over the Hill? I'm over the hill? But then I saw the subtitle, and it was Laugh Lines for the Better Half of Life. I thought, oh, the better's yet to come.
Oh, yes. Oh, that,
So we need to veer away from all this sad stuff. I have spent years and years trying to resist and fight the evil that's in the world, and it seems that I have not accomplished all that much. Let me give you an example. Sometimes working in the Lord's field is like picking cotton. I don't know how many listeners ever pick cotton. I'm not talking about with that air-conditioned machine. I'm talking about doing it by hand. Years ago when I was a child, we would have to hand-pick the cotton one bowl at a time. And in doing that, we had to deal with sand spurs, cockle burrs, the boll weevil who was eating up the bowls, and stinging worms. And laboring for the Lord is kind of like that sometimes. But it's Jesus' unspeakable joy that keeps us on the right course. The hot sun, those sand spurs, those cockle burrs, those stinging worms, and being thirsty would have been unbearable if it had not been for the cool, refreshing watermelons Daddy planted among the cotton rows. When those melons ripened, he covered them with straw to protect them from the sun, and then we'd have them while we were out there picking cotton. We'd work hard to get to the next watermelon. So you see, Diana, when you do your best for the Lord, we need to take a breather every once in a while. We need to do something we enjoy and do it, you know, for ourselves. And it's not selfish. I don't think the Lord holds it against us when we work hard for him to take a watermelon break.
What a beautiful picture, Miss Ann.
We need to think of something we really enjoy. Some people like to fish. Some ladies like to crochet but never seem to have the time. Get a new hairdo or go out for dinner together, reading the Bible while the children are at school, or just reading a good book and sleeping, letting the laundry pile up one day, and just do something. I'm talking to the women here. Just do something you enjoy. And even if it's just sleep one day. You know, most of us are sleep-deprived anyway. Whatever refreshes anybody's spirit, I say do it and don't feel guilty about it. We women have a tendency to feel guilty about doing something for ourselves. But, ladies, I just want to say to you, like the Clairol girl, do it. You're worth it.
Miss Annette, that is so wonderful. I thank you for that watermelon story. And it's so beautiful, and it's not even made up. It is. You know, it's what your father did. How wise was that to have? And it's just like the Heavenly Father. It's a wonderful example of, like you said, how the Heavenly Father looks after us, and he sends us surprises, things that we can work towards, a goal that will refresh us.
Right.
Wow. I just love that story. And that tells a lot, you know, about your father.
Well, he made provision for us. He knew it was going to be hot out there, and he knew we were going to be whimpering and crying and thirsty and all that. So he thought in advance about preparing that for us for the hard time. Well, that's the way our Heavenly Father is. He's prepared manna for us for the hard times. I don't know if it would be the same manna he gave the Hebrew children out there in the wilderness or not, but I know he hasn't lost the recipe for it, so however he provides for us, it'll be something good.
And how wonderful, too, Miss Annette, that amidst the work that you are doing, you know, it's like you didn't really get that surprise out of just sitting there doing nothing, but it came after, you know, doing some work. And I guess it's kind of like, you know, what I hear, there's no rainbow without a storm. You know, if it doesn't rain, you don't get a rainbow. So if you don't work, you don't get your... I mean, really, it's wonderful that he taught you that as a young child. And Miss Annette, you're still doing that.
Well, you know, Diana, it doesn't take a lot of money to laugh. Laughter is one thing we can all afford. You know, laughter is free. If we like to shop but can't afford it, we can just go look and leave our credit card at home. But much of what we women buy, we later regret anyway. We say, I wish I had not done that. How am I going to pay the electric bill? But there's a song, an old country song. It says, you may remember it because you're a lot younger than I am, but it says, be happy, don't worry. You remember?
Be happy, don't worry.
Yeah. which is secular, but it has a lot of truth in it just with those few words. But now, happy and worried don't go together. Peter tells us in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, to cast all our cares upon the Lord, for he cares for us. And we're told in James to ask, believing that we will have what we ask for. And Hebrews 11, 6 says, without faith we cannot please God. So in all this, all these storms around us, we can still just nestle in the arms of Jesus and with faith know that he's going to take care of us. And we can be happy in knowing that.
Well, it's like knowing the end of the story. Even though life is tough, the end of it we know is that Jesus loves us and Jesus will help us. So what a wonderful thing, Ms. Annette. That's a reminder from you to me of this, you know, this kind of conversation.
Well, you know, Jesus told us in his word to watch and pray. And I, like many other people, have been watching for years and praying and seeing that what he forewarned us of in the Bible is coming to pass. Many people are concerned about the president that we have now, but our nation, we brought upon ourselves because we turned our backs on God and are turning our back on Israel. So it's like that in Psalms 103 where you read, I mean, where it says in there that he doesn't, let's see if I better find it and get it right, where he says he's merciful and gracious. Let's see. He has not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. So he's really been long-suffering and merciful because our nation has turned from God, and we Christians, we sort of got caught up in the ways of the world, wanting the best of everything, and we just sort of got off course. We let our guard down, so to speak.
Yes, Ms. Annette. I heard somebody say this, you know, like the borrowing, the more money that we're, you know, the $2.4 trillion. It's like if you want to put more money, you know, to spend, it's almost like saying, okay, you know, which kind of poison do you want? I mean, you're going to poison the economy, you know, anyway, but let's take it at a bigger dose or a lesser dose. Either way, it's poison. But it's just, you know, you got, do you want it $2.4 trillion? Do you want $1 trillion, whatever? But it's all the same thing. It's poison.
Well, it's like a teenager. You give them free access to a credit card. This is where our government is. They've maxed out one credit card, so they tried to get another one to pay off that one, and then they have to get another one to pay off that one, and we're just that much in debt. We can't even borrow money to pay back the money we borrowed, you know?
Yes, and I just, when we think about the households that's suffering because of that, the interest rates being so high, these are dark times for them. So it's really good to remind them, again, there is someone watching, and I know that sometimes people can't even pray they're hurting so bad, Miss Annette, but, you know, it is so good because the Bible shows us over and over again how important that is, and Jesus tells us the importance of praying.
Right. He even told us how to pray. Our Father who art in heaven, you know, the Lord's Prayer, he told us how to pray. His disciples, it said he taught his disciples. Now, they've been with him a little while, and he saw he had to teach them how to pray. So, now, I don't think we need, well, this is getting off on another rabbit trail, but I don't think we need anybody to try to teach us how to pray in tongues or anything. I think that is anybody that does that, it has to be in their closet with the Holy Spirit supernaturally doing that. But Jesus himself taught us how to pray.
Yes, yes. That is so good. I think he has really gave us so many things to help us. And it's like, as you said, Ms. Annette, you really need to have that time back in the Word. Abide in him, and he will abide in you.
Right, right. Diana, that Bob Phillips is one that he's a Christian counselor, and he wrote a lot of these Christian rib tickling books. And I took some of the jokes in there. I thought, oh, that describes me, you know. Some of the jokes that they told, they said one thing, one good reason about getting older is you just take away wrinkles by taking off your bifocals before you look in the mirror.
That's a good one.
And he had several thin hair jokes in there. Of course, my hair is getting thinner. That comes with getting older. But now when people, you know, want to ask me, is that your hair? I can say, well, sure, I paid for it. But for example, I'm going to share some of those jokes that he had in there, if you don't mind.
Oh, no.
Please. Give people a chance to laugh a little bit if they can catch it. You know, you have to be concentrating on what's being said to catch some of them. For example, after I washed my hair this morning, I had to ask you where I put it.
Okay.
But although it is getting thin, but then who wants thin hair when it doesn't suit the rest of my body? And I've decided I've been washing my hair too much, it's shrinking. And you know, Diana, my wig makes me look at least 10 years sillier. And I do have wavy hair, it's waving goodbye. And you can say one thing about baldness, it's neat. But here's the one that I really got a laugh out of. Soon I will be so bald that my neck will look like I'm blowing a bubble. And I am proud of my beautiful hair, all three of them. And I do have a beautiful head of skin, except for a wart or two. And I don't tell anybody, but last week I switched from Head and Shoulder shampoo to Mopping Glow.
Oh, excuse me, isn't it?
So, you know, we need a good laugh every once in a while. You know, one good thing about getting older is people sort of expect you to be silly. But, you know, one thing is you can whistle and brush your teeth at the same time.
Oh, Miss Annette.
Just put them back in the tub when you finish.
Oh, goodness. Well, can I say this? Because you remind me of something.
Okay.
I remember my mother taking out her teeth, you know. And was cleaning it, and I remember my little girl doing the same thing, trying to take her teeth out too, because she saw Grandma taking her teeth out.
So
that's supposed to come out. Okay, that anyway, that just reminded me of that.
Well, one of the jokes there was says my will reads, being a sound mind, I spent all my money.
Oh my. Children's nightmare.
Yeah. And another thing is, authorized is a constant companion who will never leave you. An old bachelor in Kentucky had to get a cortisone shot before he could propose on bended knee.
Oh,
that's just a little bit of side path. People need to know that we can laugh.
Yeah.
And the Lord, I don't think the Lord holds us against us every once in a while to just take a day to rest and relax. We live in such stressful times.
And Miss Annette, that was wonderful. And what was the name of the book again?
Let me look. Hold on a minute. I got it here somewhere. Over the Hill and on a Roll by Bob Phillips.
Oh, my goodness. I wish he'd put that on a CD. You know, I've heard some people listening to those joke CDs, and you know that is so much more uplifting than listening to. I hate to say it, some of these comedies that you see on television,
oh,
because you know it's not even fit to listen to. I mean, I have to turn it because you might hear one good joke, but the most of it is, you know, they'll put in something that's very demeaning.
They'll put in vulgar stuff.
Yeah, vulgar language, too.
We don't want to fill our minds with that. We need to keep our minds renewed in Christ and think on good things, and we don't need old vulgar jokes filling our minds.
And do I just think if people are depressed, Miss Annette, I think the worst thing they can do is really to watch these horror movies.
Oh, mercy,
you know, yes. They need those. They need funny, good, decent movies to help uplift their minds. But, you know, you would think that would be common sense, but it's almost like an addiction for some people, I think.
Well, the soap operas are the same way. It's so easy to get addicted to those, and, you know, I can't remember where it's found. It's in the New Testament, but it talks about going into the homes and leading silly women as captives, and it describes soap operas exactly. I mean, they live in a fantasy world, just like when True Story Confession magazines first came out. A lot of young girls got hooked on that, and they began to live in fantasy worlds, thinking the real world was full of romance and unreal things.
Mm.
Well, the real world is out here where you are. You're working, you're raising a family, and you're trying to avoid these pitfalls that the devil throws in front of you. So today's comedy is not funny at all.
No, no. And but it's so good to hear that, Miss Annette, what you're saying, because we have to really pray for people to have the blinders removed, because it's almost, and I was thinking myself, you know, I want to do that. I don't want to watch networks that promote that vulgar stuff, you know. And even though some of their programming might be good, you know, there's quite a few of it that's so unpatriotic, vulgar, it's not worth watching. And I'm thinking sometimes we really send out a signal or a vote, we kind of vote with what we watch. And so even something simple as what you watch, if you can control yourself, I think you can send some really good signal that, hey, this is not the kind of, you know, programming that, you know, we want to
have. A lot of people apparently think that what they do in private, nobody will know about it. Of course, it's not important for the people to know about it, but the most important thing is God knows about it. Nothing can be hid from him. And I'm telling you something, Diana, we're getting pretty close to the time when Jesus is going to return. When he returns, I don't want to be caught up in some secret sin that I think nobody knows anything about. I want my heart pure before the Lord, because at any time, everything's leading up to it, at any time, the church could be taken out. I do think, though, we're going to see some hard times, because otherwise the Lord wouldn't have warned us ahead of time what to watch for. We have had no reason to know except to be on the watch for it and keep our own hearts pure and try to tell other people, you know, to get ready. Time's running out.
I think you're so right, Miss Annette. What with Israel, that's such a, you know, it's kind of mixed to me, feelings there. I'm happy that I know what the Bible says are the signs to be looking out for, and Israel, the apple of God's eye, is definitely a sign for us. And so, you know, we can know that, hey, you know, everything's coming to pass that he says is going to come to pass, and we're going to be in that generation that sees the Lord's coming.
I believe that. I believe that. Let me give your listeners a website where this has nothing to do with laughter, but it has something to do with the times we're living in. Let me give them a website that they can look up some information about this new world order, one world government, one world leader, one world currency, one world spiritual leader. It's www.garykah.org. He has some videos on there, some conferences where he's speaking, and he has books. One book that I've had since 1992 when he first wrote it is En Route to Global Occupation. And this morning I was praying and asked the Lord what he wanted me to talk about on my next program. And he brought Gary Carter to mind, and it had been years since I'd heard of him, so I didn't know if he was still around or not. And I went and did a search and found out that he is, and he's very active. He exposed a lot of stuff that's leading up to the one world government. He still is. And if people are interested, I don't know how in the world they can know Bible prophecy and hear what Gary's saying and not put the two together.
Is that Gary, K-A-H, did you say .org, Mr.
Uh-huh. Nick? G-A-R-Y-K-A-H.org.
Okay, I will look at that. We interviewed somebody, Mr. Don Casey, that talked about Agenda 21.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, it sounds like that. And
that's
people...
Agenda 21 is just a small part of the big plot.
Well, it sounds, you know, some people will naysay and say, well, that's not really going to happen. But I just think when you see the President of the United States sign that law, you know, for local Agenda 21, then, hey, this is not something somebody just made up. And you can even, you know, you can research it. It's there. It's kind of like what you're saying. You know, they have plans on everything. It's like that total world control. But they're wanting to really make it move a lot faster. And President Obama signing that into law, that local Agenda 21, just ramps it up and makes you really know for sure, hey, it's here in the United States of America. You know, it's not something that's just made up. It is truly here. And so I'm going to look that up because I think all these things are really warning us. All these people God has, you know, gifted with the ability to really study and to warn us. And we really need to be reading it so that we can, you know, we can share this with others.
But not become dismayed. Don't become dismayed when you read it. Because if you look at the scriptures, he gives scriptures to back it up, too. If you look at the scriptures, God said it was going to happen, and he was merciful enough to let us know ahead of time that it was going to happen. But he also tells us, don't be afraid, don't be dismayed. We don't have to have fear. He has not given us a spirit of fear. But I would say eager anticipation.
Well, Ms. Nate, you know, when I think about the stories of the Christians that were being put to death in Roman times, you know, being fed to the lions. And I remember reading some of these stories where, you know, they were singing. How can you sing? But they were. But, you know, again, is their mind was focused on Jesus. They knew this was not their home. And I guess they were looking beyond what, you know, they were seeing on this earth.
Well, you know, when Stephen was stoned, he looked and saw the Lord sitting at the right hand of the Father. God allowed him to see through to the heavenly throne. And it said Stephen went to sleep. So, you know, when he was being stoned, he was praying at the time and said, God, don't hold this to their account. I'm paraphrasing, of course. But he had forgiveness in his heart. And, he may have felt the first stone, but I think God just took him after that first one. That's my opinion.
Wow, God is so good. It's like you say right there, you know, that's one example where God allowed him to see beyond, you know, the people that were stoning him, but to look at the prize ahead in heaven.
Right.
What a beautiful thing. And Miss Annette, as we close, I'd like for you to share that sweet, sweet story that I always love to hear, along with other stories that you share. But just to remind, you know, those that are listening, you know, they're not alone in the pain and suffering. You have borne many yourselves, but as you have seen in your life, God has come through time and time again. He has never left you. He's never forsaken you. Would you mind sharing that story about the worms?
Okay, I've shared it before, but I'll share it again. I'll be quick about it because I know time's running out. Years ago, Yule and I were in landscape business, and he was off out of town doing a big landscape project, and he had landscaped a school there in Troy where we were located. And during the day, I get this call, and they ask me, and we didn't have a telephone, didn't have cell phones or anything like that, and I had no way of getting in touch with Yule. And he was off on a job in some rural area. And they said the army worms were eating up the new solid sod that we had put out there at that school, and solid sod is terribly expensive. Well, I didn't know what to do, so I just hung up the phone and said, Lord, please take care of the worms. So when you all got in, I told him about it, and it was getting late, and he went over there, and there was someone still at the school, and they said, well, you know, the strangest thing, said, we looked out the window, and the whole lawn was covered with sparrows, and they cleaned up every one of those army worms. So you see, God works supernaturally, too.
That is such a beautiful story. And so I know we have probably listeners that is going through some hard times right now, Miss Annette, wondering, you know, what's going to happen tomorrow. But, wow, God's just a prayer away.
And the maker of the whole vast universe knows each and every need. He tells us, don't worry about tomorrow. He tells us sufficient today. I forgot just how it goes, but he says, consider the sparrow. How much more does he care for you? So we are in good hands.
And I love it when it says, you know, without faith, you can't please God.
Hebrews 11:4, that's right.
Yeah, don't worry about it that, you know, you feel like you don't, you know, you can't believe that enough to even pray for it. But that's where you just step in and say, you know, I'm going to have faith. He's going to do the rest. So, and it's wonderful because as you practice it, your faith increases through the years, doesn't it, Miss Annette?
Oh, it does. You grow in faith.
So don't feel bad if you don't have any. Just jump anyway. Jump and take a risk, because what will you lose?
Well, we just do that. The man that went to Jesus, he said, do you believe I can do this? He says, yes, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. So we can believe, but if there's any thread of doubt there, we just say, Lord, take away that doubt.
And isn't this amazing that this faith, I mean, this, what we call Christianity, started from one man who really didn't go through all the world, but made a big difference right there where he's at, and then many more heard of what he did and shared it throughout the world. But it started with one, and he gave his life for you and me. And what an, I mean, it's a faith worth believing in, Miss Annette, because we know it works. I mean, I hate to say it, but it really does work, and the world is full of evidence of it.
Well, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody can go to the Father except by him, and God himself acknowledged that he was his only begotten Son. He spoke it, and the people around and heard it. They thought he was thundering. Buddha didn't die for our sins. Muhammad didn't die for our sins. Hare Krishna, none of those false religions, only Jesus. And people going off on all these New Age side trails to try to seek peace, they won't ever find true peace, because only true peace that we have is through Jesus Christ.
Wow. God, who became man and humbled himself to serve us and to love us and show us the way, is here waiting for you to believe in him. And so, Miss Annette, time flies. Would you mind, Miss Annette, to close us in prayer? It doesn't have to be short, Miss Annette. We can go over and Neil will record it, so you go right ahead.
Oh, okay. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for the opportunity that you have given Diana and Barbara and me, Lord, and others. Thank you for the wonderful list of speakers and guests that she has on the program, Lord. I just ask you to bless each and every one that's ever taken time out, Lord, to share. And, dear Heavenly Father, I just ask you to just continue to bless the City on the Hill broadcast, Father, and Diana, bless her in every way. And remind us, Lord, of who we are in Jesus Christ. Strengthen our will to remain loyal to you and your word. And, Lord, sprinkle our hearts with your joy, and let it be contagious to others. Jesus, be Jesus in us. Create in us clean hearts and a joyful spirit as we eagerly wait for your return. You are our mighty God, and you alone deserve all honor, glory, and praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, listeners, we hope that you have learned from today's show that, you know, we are people that believe, and that, as you have heard Miss Annette and her testimony, this woman has been a mentor to me, and has encouraged me to do this show. I mean, when I just think about all the things that she has done throughout her life, it's like, oh my goodness, how in the world can one woman do what she's done? But she did it out of love. So whatever the door is that God opened for her, she stepped right in and has given all her life, because she loves the Lord with all her heart, all her soul, all her mind, all her strength. And so we hope that you would, from hearing this testimony, would, you know, give Jesus the chance to be Lord of your life, because he wants nothing but the best for you. The founding fathers knew there was no better way than God's way, and indeed, he is the best thing. I know in my life, and Miss Annette will say in her life, and we invite you to find out what we have found out. So we thank you for listening. We ask that you share the show tomorrow. Mr. Wayne, Miss Barbara will be on, and Friday we'll have Don Wildman talking about the tea party. So we'll be back in the swing again. But in the meantime, as Miss Annette has said, you know, take time out. Enjoy God's gift of laughter and rest. May God bless you. May God shine his face upon you. Thank you, Miss Annette.
Thank you, Diana. God bless.
God bless, and we love you. Thank you for listening to City on a Hill Radio Show. Goodbye.